Welcome to Knock Talk, North of Center's podcast about the challenges of leading in a world that operates at the speed of send. During this episode, Knock CEO Cliff W. Gilmore and Knock COO B.J. Fitzpatrick Jr. discuss the timeless communication-based leadership truth that enduring leadership success requires trust, and the challenge of fostering trust as a gift that can't be mandated but must be given freely. Hey, you're back with Cliff W. Gilmore and BJ Fitzpatrick, the CEO and COO of North of Center. And we're here today to talk about trust. Trust. Yeah, what is that anyway? Hey, why don't we go ahead and open with a definition of trust, which is that, you know, it's commonly accepted as the willingness to be vulnerable to the actions of other people with confidence that they'll act in our own interests. That's a definition that was developed over time by a couple of research guys who went out through all sorts of stuff, said, hey, how are people talking about it? And then they went back about a decade later and reviewed it and found that people had picked that definition up and actually used it. So it's about as close to the, you know, universal definition of trust as you can come. Why are we caring about it? I'll tie right now to one of the core truths of communication-based leadership, which is the model that we use in our coaching and our consulting work. And that truth is that enduring leadership success requires trust. And the key word there is enduring. If you want your success to last, you want to leave a positive legacy, you have to, and if you want to build an organization that will last, you've got to have trust. You've got to have it within your team, between your team and your clients and customers, across basically with everybody you interact with, it's got to be there. So the purpose of today, for about 30 minutes or so, BJ and I are going to sort of talk back and forth, give some examples of times trust came into play, and some examples of how you can use it and build it and all of that. BJ, anything for you to throw onto the table yet?
Not yet. No, it just I love that definition, and I think it works. And we went around about this as well. I say we do that all the time because we do. And we decided to kind of narrow this down as that leader, new leader, going into an organization, and how trust affects your relationship from that time of being new and from you down and into your organization. Because we can talk about trust at your organization, trust from yourself, trust from other people, trust in your boss, trust in people you do business with. We could go forever on that. And we've decided to narrow it down today to leader, from leader down and in, and talk mm-hmm. about that kind of trust, because there's a lot going on there, especially for new leaders. You may find yourself in, as you do quite often, in a position you're not familiar with. Sometimes, and we'll get to it, where your trust is not requited by your people. And so worth talking about, I think.
Starting with the definition works. I think most folks, that's always a dangerous thing to say. It's a broad generalization right from the start, and I'm using it intentionally. Most folks intuitively understand that trust is important, but I found also most folks have given very little thought to trust and what it's all about. And so part of what we can throw out and put into people's minds today is sort of some characteristics, some things about trust that folks don't usually consider. One of those is that trust is absolutely vital, but it can't be mandated. And we'll hear that. I hear it now in movies and things. It's so on top of my head, this whole CBL model now that I'm watching. Anytime I hear the word, well, just trust me, in a movie or something, I just chuckle, because like you can't mandate that.
You've got to trust me here.
You've got to trust me here. And if you get to that point, as a leader, you're probably in dangerous territory. You may be swimming strong, but there's a rip current coming your way. And that's key, that it can't be mandated. And another really fascinating thing about trust to me, as I, you know, I've dug in and I've done a boatload of reading on this thing, and it was part of my own doctoral dissertation research, which is why I'm kind of hung up on it like an egghead. But it can't be mandated. And yet that means it has to be freely given. And then when it is given, it still belongs to the person who gave it. And that to me is fascinating, because you can't demand it. You can't mandate it. You can't require it. It's absolutely essential. And when somebody gives it to you, it's still theirs, which means it can go away in a flash. I mean, it's always a tenuous thing. And so building and maintaining trust, because you really can't control it when it's being given to you. You have no say in that. What you can do is build the relationships and the team culture that fosters trust. You can build a sense of openness, willingness to communicate, and a willingness to tolerate errors and mistakes. That is a very powerful and profound thing when it comes to maintaining trust. It's not about being perfect. And when we look at that definition, that it's the confidence that others will act in your best interest, and you're vulnerable to that. It essentially means you're trusting someone because they can do things to you or that affect you, and you really don't have any control over it. So, one of our classic examples were elected officials. We elect government officials, and then we trust them to make decisions in our best interest. And we don't expect them to be perfect, but we also expect them to be making decisions in a way that makes us go, oh, okay, great, thanks. I don't have any control over that, so I still feel confident that you know, you're making choices that are ultimately, okay for me.
I think today people will commonly say, he or she's got my back modern colloquialism. And I think it goes a couple of different ways, but you talked about the tolerance for mistakes. An employee working with some guidance and maybe the leader or supervisor isn't there. And they know that if they're trying to do the right thing, they're working in the best interest of the company. And if they make a mistake, that leader will have their back. Mm-hmm. And because that leader trusts them, knows what they're doing, and if they make a mistake, they know it was done in 100% of the best intentions, and maybe offer that as a learning opportunity. But that there's a lot of having my back, which is just people saying things and trying to be neat and cool and everything else. Mm-hmm. And then there's that difficult part of a leader when you actually have your employees' backs when they make a mistake, and you can suck up kind of that pain that comes with taking it on your chin while letting them learn the lesson.
That brings to mind to me, a phrase that was common to me when I was being taught up and trained and educated as a leader. And that had to do with the idea of praising in public, but punishing in private. If you're a leader, you're responsible for everything your people do or fail to do. And, you delegate out their freedom to go run and do things, and you want to tap into their creativity and you want to unleash that creativity, but you have to give them room, top cover, if you will, to stumble along the way or make a mistake. So if you give your team good guidance, advice, and direction, and then you go into sort of overwatch to let them run down the lane that you built and that you defined. If they do an amazing thing and they take off and they just explode and in a good way, you can build trust by commending them and letting other people know, hey, look at this, look at how good they're doing. Look at the thing they achieved, and you give them the credit for it. But if somebody stumbles along the way, but they have made decisions within the guidance you gave and within the spirit of your organization, then you own that, and you give them the way I put it with my Marines sometimes was, hey, I'm going to tell you what I need from you. I'm going to trust you to do well. And if you're doing everything you can, if you're working within the spirit and the intent of my guidance, I'll take the caning. My role as a leader is to wrap you up and put me over you so that cane comes down on my back.
To be clear, there was no actual caning in the
there Marine was Corps. No actual caning. No, this was this was the contemporary Marine Corps, not the Corps of 1910. That's sort of a way, and that resonated with that particular group of folks who were hoorah, hoorah, warrior, and you're like, oh, I'll take the caning for you, and they'd be like, oh, that's great. But it's an apt metaphor, and it's that, hey, I'll give you the credit, but I'll put myself between you and the criticism. And now another interesting piece in my experience on this, though, is that builds the trust. It conveys that trust inside your organization, but it also doesn't mean that you're just letting things go. And there were a couple of folks, I said, I've taken the last caning for you, but I'm not mad at you, but I'm worn out. So let's get together and let's sit down and let's figure out how to get you where you need to be, because I know you're trying And I know you're doing the best you can. What do I need to teach you, equip you with, supply you with? What kind of supervision do you need? You know, what guidance are you missing so that you can not stumble again? It's not that, you know, you're done, you messed up, but you know, you messed up a couple of times and each time I'm taking the hit and it's really starting to bleed through. It's not good. So let's fix this. That goes a long way on building that trust within your organization. And then by demonstrating that, you know, I always found that then my own people did the same kind of thing. If they saw me stumbling along the way somewhere, they would lead up and they'd talk positively about me and then come to me and say, hey, this is kind of going off the rails. You know, what can we do to help? And that is another thing I find really profoundly interesting and profound about trust is that it breaks past hierarchy. And you know, you can have an organization where you've got a positional leader and lines of authority and who's in charge. But if you build an organization that's really just fosters trust, you become flat in function, even if you're structured in a traditional sort of hierarchy way. You function in a flat way where people are looking left, right at each other, regardless of who the leader actually is. And that can be so incredibly powerful. In what you can get out of a team.
Well, when you have that trust and they feel comfortable giving you that feedback that might not be that positive, might elicit bad feeling or bad reactions or has that potential, and they trust enough to say, we've been here together, or I actually have this experience, or I'm looking from the outside kind of going, we're headed down this bad path, and they have the confidence and the trust to feedback up the organization and say, here's what's about to happen, trusting that the organization will accept, even if you say, no, that's not what's happening here, you don't understand, but at least that it will be listened to and someone will give it its due as it's being expressed from inside the ranks, let's say.
Now, within the communication-based leadership framework, we've done something that is unique with how we define trust. And particularly how we link it to another key thing, which is credibility. Now, trust and credibility are often used interchangeably. They're just synonyms. You'll hear people say, you know, yeah, I trust them, they're credible, and it's all tied together. What we have done within our framework is we've identified that both trust and credibility have to do very much with say-do. It has very much to do with whether someone's words and deeds are consistent and whether they're aligned. And then we drew the distinction between trust and credibility this way, that credibility is yours as a leader, and you can build it deliberately. You can control it because you own it, and you can build it by deliberately aligning your words with your deeds and deliberately being consistent in what you say and what you do. And you can control that. And this doesn't mean that you can't ever be misaligned or change your mind, change directions. But as a leadership activity, you strive to keep your words and deeds consistent and aligned. And you can control it. It's literal. That's your credibility. Trust, on the other hand, as you said, that's a gift. It's got to come from somebody else. And that trust is grounded very heavily in how a leader's words and deeds are perceived by other people, whether they are perceived as consistent and aligned. And so that distinction there has an advantage in when how we coach and how we consult folks, and that we can look at it and say, hey, well, trust is essential. If you want to experience enduring leadership success, you have to foster trust throughout your team. And at the same time, though, you can't control it. You can't mandate it. So what can you control? You can control your own credibility. You can focus on and strive to keep your words and deeds aligned and consistent with each other over time, and communicate openly with your team and let them know what's going on and let them experience that. And then the odds of them giving you their trust and that trust being strong go up when your credibility is firmly grounded. And so to sum that little piece up there, your credibility is yours. You own it, you control it, and you can build it and strengthen it. Trust you can't, but if you are credible and if you're striving to keep your words and deeds aligned and consistent over time, the odds of trust coming your way go way up. And then folks come to rely on that.
You're right, Cliff. And we've gone about 15 minutes now. And I think maybe look at turning the table just a hair. We can talk about being trustworthy and words, deeds, alignment, and those things required of a leader in order to lead effectively. Incredibly important to lead effectively. Mm-hmm. What about that leader looking down and in at the organization and the trust that the leader has to have in his or her people? I would offer that the amount of times that you and I have come to new organizations to lead, participated in those kind of things, taken over, as it were, anywhere from 5 or 10 people all the way up to 800 or 900, 1,000 people, is the trust that you have to have as a leader in your organization without any feedback on day one, from minute one. And kind of my thought is, you trust the organization, otherwise you wouldn't be with it.
Sure.
And therefore everyone in it. So you trust it and therefore them from day one. And I think that's something that I was going to say we struggle with. We don't struggle with that. I think most people come in almost Pollyanna-ish to a new role and say, I trust the organization. I trust you guys. We're going to do X, Y, and Z. We both know that occasionally somebody from within the ranks will betray you. they will betray that trust, just like every once in a while, your word deed alignment is going to be off. It's human nature. Sure. The longer you spend there, it's going to happen. The fact that you don't do it very often, you get to retain that trust because it was a mistake or something. But mm-hmm. Occasionally from within the organization, you can have a very trustworthy organization and someone, a particular very small piece of that organization, your organization, betrays you. And you have to understand that I think, A, it will happen at some point in your career.
Sure.
B, it's gonna hurt. It's part of being a leader. It's gonna hurt. And one of the things I've looked at when I'm leading an organization, and we're talking both Marines, I worked in the government with civilians as well, some of who had no military experience except for where they were working. And I found that, you know, some of our principles, free flow of information, accuracy of that information, when you're open and honest with your people, and here you are providing your words and deeds, when you're open and honest, when you pass information, when you trust your organization, you actually disempower those who would betray you. Because usually the disempowerment, the betrayal comes from someone who knows something and maybe doesn't keep a promise or doesn't do what they're supposed to do. But with the free flow of information, I had the opportunity to do this. And I used to have a saying when I was talking to my people in my branch. There's about 26 of us serving, you know, the entire Marine Corps. And I said, okay, mature people talking maturely here, which was my interpretation of, I'm going to tell you everything that's going on. And what you're going to do is not act like they're rumors. They're just business. And that's what we do amongst us mature people working so that you can do the best of your job. You can mm-hmm. make the best decisions. You can help the team the best because I've given you everything there is. So that, and also by a turn, if I tell you that I can't tell you something, you'll probably trust me that right now I can't tell you something for a very good reason, mm-hmm. but that as soon as I can, I will. As soon as you'll find out, you'll realize why. And those kind of things are also, as you develop that two-way trust communication, you know, two-way trust relationship, mm-hmm. that you end up getting a buy on occasion when you need one because they know he would never do that. Mm-hmm. must be something really important. He'll tell me when he knows, when he can, and those kind of things. So I've kind of gone on for a minute, but when that leader has that trust down to the organization, it is a two-way street. You have to create it for yourself, but also your organization you've got to have that for your organization as well.
Yeah, and I'm going to take the mic back quick, and I want to clarify something I I think I got it right from you there, but I heard you say these are mature people talking maturely, I think is what you were saying. And I wanted to clarify for anybody listening, because what I heard first time was mature people talk immaturely. And I think the first is what you were getting at. Is that right?
Yes. Okay. The implication was we are all mature people. And therefore, when we speak, we are speaking as mature people. And therefore, we can be trusted to talk to each other openly. Yes. Yeah. The word immature was never entered into my conversation.
Gotcha. Yeah, I thought that's what I thought I heard, but I know what I also heard and wanted to make sure that, what's it when a word sounds the same? And anyway, my daughter's in third grade and just learned about, she's saying it all the time now, you know, there, and there. Whatever the word for words that sound the same are. So that's one of those mature people talking maturely and talking maturely threw me off. We can clip this piece right out of the audio. you know, when we talk betrayal, you know, that's that can be small to big. And certainly we'll have future discussions, particularly along the angles of public engagement and the work we do there, where we talk about crisis management when we're like looking at big B betrayal. Something has truly gone wrong because somebody has truly done wrong, and you have to take care of that. We'll have some really good discussions about that in the future, I'm sure. But there's also just that you know, that small scale betrayal where, you know, people, you know, they, heck, an individual could be going after your job, for example, or something like that. Somebody could deliberately try and hose you, but also just
it does.
Yeah. And then you can also have, you know, a betrayal of trust in some occasions can just be a lack of willingness to trust. So you think, you know, you think you've built it and you think you're giving your trust to other folks and you're asking it of them. And then someone will maybe behave in a way or do something in a way that you're like, what? Why didn't you just trust me to with that information? Why didn't you just tell me you were having a hard time at home right now? And that's, you know, that is a betrayal of trust, but it's also, it's not the betrayal in the classic sense of somebody done me wrong. To deal with those kinds of things, it really does. It comes back to, you know, the core idea that we have in the beginning here, that your enduring leadership success requires trust. You need to build a team that's willing to communicate with each other. It's open and willing to do that. And ironically enough, that means when someone betrays that trust, you have to behave in a way that's designed to show that trust needs to be preserved. And when we go then, we'd said, you know, let's take a look at, you know, leaders coming in, new leaders into an organization. BJ, you gave really solid ground there that when you join an organization, there is some sort of trust you're giving to that organization and the people within it right from the front. When you step into a position as a new leader, your subordinates, your team members, you know, whatever word best applies there, they're going to give you a certain amount of trust up front, but also they're going to be a little cynical, a little hesitant. They want to figure out what's going on and get a sense of you. And the best way I have found to build that trust very quickly is, you know, you've got that implied trust right up front. You're the new boss. They're looking at you going, well, you're the boss. But in order to build it quickly within the team, you need to immediately grant it. So, you know, we said early in this discussion that trust is a gift. It can't be mandated. It's got to be freely given. And that means you as the leader also. Those are truths about trust that apply to every single one of us. So as a leader, if you want to build trust within your team, one of the first things you have to do is demonstrate it. I did this with my own teams. Heck, I did it with my own son. He is adopted. And when we brought him into our home, we sat him down right up front and said, now we didn't even sit him down at this point because he had his bags with him and was getting ready to go up to his room. And we said, hey, welcome home. You have all sorts of reasons not to trust us and to wonder what's coming next for you. We want you to know that we trust you. Welcome home. Go upstairs, unpack your stuff, make yourself comfortable. Come on down when you're ready. And you know, off he went and down he came. And you know, he's been with us for 8 years now. And you know, he proved over time that the trust we gave him was worthwhile. But I know, because he's flat out told us, that our trusting him right from the beginning and then demonstrating it when he made a mistake or two, we didn't, you know, rip the carpet out from under him or rip the rug out from under him. We just sat him down. We talked it through and said, what's going on? We still trust you. Let's figure out what's happening here. And that was so powerful with him within the family. Well, the team's a family, and trust works the same way, whether you're inside the family or not, whether the green light on your camera goes off and you're looking at a still photo of yourself while you're talking to your colleague in a recording, you know, whatever. Man, I'm talking over myself a bit here. Let me put a bow around it. Hey, if you want to really build trust right up front as a new leader, you've got to grant it right up front as a new leader. You show up and you say, hey, gang, I'm the leader now. I'm learning my way or settling in as well. I've got some ideas and whatever, but you all know what you're doing. You know what's going on, and I trust you. Let's roll. And that trust will begin to come back to you.
And comparatively, Cliff, I think, and I trust that you're still there, even though your camera stopped working.
I am indeed. I
hear you. But the as a leader, your skin must be much thicker for breaches of trust from your team than their skin must be for breaches of trust from you. That is one of your requirements as a leader, to take a few hits and move on the chance, with the opportunity that your kind of undying trust in them will be, again, using the word requited, back to you by maybe a change in behavior because you did show the stamina to kind of work through that. Cliff, I think as we sit here and talk, and maybe as we kind of head towards the end, so what? We're doing these things and we're talking, and it doesn't mean a hill of beans unless it does. And what is our hill of beans today, I think? And to put it in there, what can you learn? If you went back and listened again, being a leader, you and I have discussed this over and over, is a lonely, lonely thing. Being a new leader, especially being a new leader, you see a lot of things for the first time. They seem very individual. They seem very first time. They're your first time. They are the infinite time for leaders everywhere. So that if by talking about situations and talking about how it goes when you're dealing with leadership within an organization, especially new leadership, to get maybe some resiliency, if that's the right word, some resiliency from the fact that you and I are sitting here talking from experience saying these things are going to happen. Mm-hmm. Here's how trust works. You're going to see your trust be broken, and you're going to have to get over that because you're a leader and you can't walk off and beat your fist on the ground and mm-hmm. cry about it. You've got to move on. So if we can provide some of that resiliency only in the fact that your experiences now, not yours, Cliff, but the audience, your mm-hmm. experiences now, don't look as unique, and you say, oh, thank God, I'm not the only person. It doesn't make me a bad leader to have this happen. It makes me a leader who's also gaining experience. And I think it's important to say that as we go forward, where's our lesson here? And our lesson is providing those experiences before you actually have to have the experiences and the resiliencies, if you have, to understand that you're not alone.
Sure. Sure. And I think if, and we are coming up on 30 minutes here, if we were going to wrap up so that we had the piece where we could tell people, you know, just fast forward to this last 30 seconds or whatever to get the key points. Say, you know, we started with one of the four core truths, the enduring truths of communication-based leadership, which is that enduring leadership success requires trust. So you have to have it. It's essential to enduring success. However, you can't mandate it. It has to be given freely, and it's really easy to lose. So a couple of ways you can begin to build it are maybe a few ways. One of them is concentrate on your own credibility. Strive to make sure that your words and deeds are consistent and aligned, and you will begin to build trust, or build on the trust that's given to you right up front. You'll begin to retroactively earn the trust that's given to you when you step in as a leader. You need to demonstrate trust. You need to give it. And if you step in as a leader and you demonstrate your own trust in other members of your team right away, that will help build trust within the team and the organization. And third, you need to be willing to tolerate mistakes and errors. And in fact, mistakes and errors give you the opportunity to demonstrate trust, which then in turn strengthens trust and creates the opportunity for it within your organization. So you it's a gift. It has to be given freely. And we very often think in terms of, can I trust this other person? Am I, you know, are they trustworthy? As a leader, it starts with asking yourself, am I trustworthy? And then making it a deliberate effort. And the way you can concentrate on that, one way you can concentrate on that deliberate effort is by focusing on your own credibility, your words, deeds, alignment, and the consistency of what you say and what you do. And then there's the entire rest of the CBL model, which includes the other one of the other truths. Leadership is about relationships, and that is implicit in everything we were talking about here during this discussion. Enduring leadership success requires trust, and that means that it's about relationships, and you need to build those and have communication open and happening all the time. And that is a topic for another discussion. Any final thoughts, BJ?
Yes. If you're a leader and you've got a great mentor within your organization, you're set. Someone you can open up to and talk to and talk about these same types of things that Cliff and I went on for 30 minutes about today. If you don't, then there's an opportunity, and there's a lot of coaches out there, of which Cliff and I are some of, who are happy to sit down and do coaching. And you can almost use the word mentoring within that. And I said resiliency because you get to use someone else's experience, take a especially for a coach, kind of a third party who's not involved in your particular situation, and get down to the bottom of some problems. So if you have a mentor in your company that's getting you there and growing you and teaching you lessons, that's great. If you don't, and you feel like you don't, there's an opportunity for coaching out there for which we provide some.
Fair point. Always good to close with a call to action. Well done, sir. All right. Thanks to those of you who listened to us all the way through or listen to this part anyway. And thanks for your time and your the investment of your time in us. And we look forward to talking to you again soon. Thanks.
See y'all later.
If you enjoyed this episode of Knock Talk, please recommend us to friends and colleagues who may also find these discussions helpful. To learn more about how communication-based leadership can help you navigate successfully in a world that operates at the speed of send, visit our website at www.northofcenter.com. You can also drop us a line anytime with your leadership questions or to recommend future Knock Talk topics at reachknock@northofcenter.com. That's reach, N-O-C, at northofcenter.com. Finally, we want to extend our sincere thanks to Forrest Reed, who produced this episode.